Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
How do you say COPD? It's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And if you can pronounce that and still take a deep breath, good for you. As COPD includes chronic bronchitis and emphysema. It's the third leading cause of death in the U.S. and rising right there after heart disease and cancer. I'm Christopher Springman, and this is Life, Love, and Health. What you don't know about COPD can hurt you and the people you love. And our next guest has some important answers for you about COPD. He is Dr. Brian Carlin, MD, past chair of the COPD Alliance at COPD.org, and the current chairperson for the National Lung Health Education Program. Dr. Carlin, welcome to Life, Love, and Health.
Thanks a lot, Christopher. It's a pleasure to be here today.
What do you know, bottom line, about COPD that our listeners really need to know?
I think, Christopher, what the listeners really need to know is COPD is includes several illnesses that people have heard about before, chronic bronchitis or emphysema or both. But what really COPD is patients or people have trouble getting air out of their lungs, make it difficult for them to breathe and take in healthy new air. It's a very common disease. Patients, you know, most common cause certainly is cigarette smoking, but it is a very preventable disease if we can get people not to smoke or to stop smoking, and also is a very treatable lung disease with the various medications and non-medication-related treatment ideas that we have available today.
Speaking of smoking, COPD is very personal to me. My late mother suffered from several comorbidities, including emphysema and lung cancer. In fact, I will tell you, as a family, we all suffered. My mom told people that she had breast cancer, which doesn't carry the same stigma as lung cancer, but the green oxygen bottle and the little under-nose breathing tube she wore was probably a, if you'll pardon the expression, a dead giveaway. There is a stigma attached to, of course, lung cancer, but also certainly emphysema and any disease that is primarily caused by the abuse of tobacco. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, that's very, very common, Christopher. And unfortunately, while people shouldn't have that stigma attached to them, we often do. For example, people that smoke cigarettes, and when they develop COPD or develop emphysema, we think that we really shouldn't carry that stigma against them. But we do, and that's the reality that people are dealt with in today's world, unfortunately.
Who is at risk besides people who smoke cigarettes or consume tobacco in various forms?
Right. While cigarette smoking is the most common cause for COPD, other causes out there, there's a genetic defect that some people have called alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency that's also related. In the world, interestingly, it would be a lot of women who cook indoors, which happens in many of the countries throughout the world and the heating is indoors,
right.
That's a problem out there.
So particulate matter from wood-burning fires.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So those are the main causes out there. Some people who work in heavy, dusty environments may get COPD, but still it comes back to the most common cause in the United States is cigarette smoking.
What are the symptoms of COPD that people should be aware of?
Yeah, those symptoms that people need to really take to their primary care provider are those where they have a shortness of breath, certainly cough of any form, and you know most people say, "Well, I have a smoker's cough," but there is no normal cough that is associated with cigarette smoking, and then certainly if people have wheezing or chest discomfort, those would be the primary things. A lot of people early on, when they're developing COPD, just decrease their level of exercise they do every day. They attribute it to old age. They attribute it to the fact that, well, you know, I smoke some cigarettes, I'm getting older, therefore I shouldn't be able to do as much. But in reality, those patients or people who have a decline in their exercise tolerance, what there is new for them should also prompt attention.
I'm curious, which comes first, typically, emphysema or lung cancer?
more than likely emphysema. It's hard to tell, and the studies out there aren't great at telling us which one would be developed, but we certainly know that they can both go together, meaning that people who are cigarette smokers have a high risk of developing both lung cancer and emphysema.
So typically when you're examining an individual for possible emphysema, because they have the 1, 2, 3, 4 symptoms that are fairly typical, you do imaging. And very often, this is how lung cancer is picked up. It's not a bit of a bonus, but it's certainly better to know sooner or later before one is symptomatic for lung cancer.
That's correct. Most of the symptoms that occur in people who have, let's say, both COPD and lung cancer, the symptoms actually come from the COPD, the shortness of breath. Uh-huh. Typically, lung cancer doesn't cause shortness of breath or chest pain. It's usually picked up incidentally when someone has an X-ray in the regular evaluation for underlying COPD.
So the real issue is, don't ignore symptoms, don't kind of rationalize and go into denial and say, oh, well, it's just it's just one of those things. You should really have it checked out.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely right. And I would suggest that people who have any of those symptoms, in fact, there's a couple of questionnaires, screening tools that people can use, whether it be a patient or whether a primary care provider can use in their practice. They're available on copd.org, the website. And these, if you answer these questionnaires and your number is above the threshold number that is there, then it suggests that you talk with your primary care provider about next steps. And those next steps would be something such as performing a lung function test called spirometry, which can really tell you whether or not you have COPD. It's a very easy test. It can be done in most primary care providers' offices, and something that needs to be done as part of the routine evaluation for someone suspected to have COPD.
Well, you know, the numbers don't lie. An estimated 24 million Americans, according to the COPD Alliance, have COPD, half of whom remain undiagnosed. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, the disease is the third leading cause of death in the U.S. Why are these folks undiagnosed? They have to take that first step, don't they?
Absolutely. And I think it's a combination of both the person with the presumed illness and also the primary care provider. Oftentimes, from the patient's perspective, they think that, again, the cough is due to something else, or it's just due to the fact they do smoke cigarettes. And from the primary care provider's perspective, they often attribute the symptoms, again, to something else. Well, maybe they have had a viral illness or things such as that that are promoting this cough or shortness of breath. But in reality, if someone is suspected to have COPD, then we should get out and do testing to further define whether they do have it or not. And that's where those 12 million that are undiagnosed really reside, in people that just don't recognize they have the disease, either from the patient's perspective or from the primary care provider's perspective.
There's really a wealth of information at COPD.org. In fact, the Alliance has launched a photo contest entitled Destroy the Pack, Don't Look Back, which is asking people to submit original photographs depicting the most creative way to destroy cigarettes. I'm sure you would like to help people destroy cigarettes, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one of the primary things for anybody out there is to, number one, not start smoking if you haven't started to smoke, and also if you have children, getting your children not to start smoking. But for those people that have started smoking, is to get them into appropriate programs that can get them to stop smoking. That's one of the most important things. If you get rid of these packs of cigarettes out there, either at the start or after you started smoking, that can only benefit everybody involved.
And if you really love your children, let's remember that smoking exacerbates pediatric asthma, which is a terrible condition.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Our guest has been Dr. Brian Carlin, MD, past chair of the COPD Alliance at COPD.org. Dr. Carlin, thank you so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health.
Great. Thank you very much, Chris, for the opportunity to participate today, and better breathing to everybody that's out there.